you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We'll be talking about an issue today that should be fresh on the hearts and the minds of every Christian, in particular Christians. We're asking the question today, are we living in the last days? Or if you want to reverse that and place it this way, what are the signs of the last days? We're going to look at several. It's not going to be all encompassing. We're going to look at several of the signs that we find in the scripture of the last days. Some refer to it as the end times. But just as Dr. Phelps and I were talking just before the broadcast, this end times, some have the idea that it's going to just cut off and it's all over at that point in time, and it's not. But we're talking about the last of the last days. We're talking about the question, are we living in the last days? And perhaps you've been thinking of that about that a little more since the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the realization, the recognition that he was assassinated because of his faith, his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was assassinated because of his Christian biblical worldview. And we'll talk about today some of the issues in relationship to what the scripture says about the last days or the end times. Are we living in the last days? Ladies and gentlemen, today we're looking across America, and as we look across America and look around the globe, we can't help but to notice some very unusual series of events taking place. We're witnessing the continue of the war in Russia. We're witnessing the continuation of the war in the Middle East. And I could go on and on and on as introductory thoughts in relationship to the last days. Have you ever seen, if you've lived in, and I'm still under 100 years old, but if you've lived very long in this old world, you recognize there seems to be a deep, deep, deep churning of events and escalation of devastating events taking place, not just America, but around the globe. So that's the issue today. And I pray that you will call in, join in the dialogue and discussion, what you see, what you sense, and your questions about the last days. Be delighted to answer the questions for you. Be delighted to talk with you about it. Be delighted to encourage us. Listen, the bottom line, it's not just negative. The bottom line is, what should it do in our hearts and lives if we know that we're living in the last days? How should, as the Ezekiel 33:10, Ezekiel said, how should we then live? Based on what we know, based on what we're seeing, based on what the world is presenting to us, how should we then live? What ought to be our mindset, our modus operandi? How should we live, ladies and gentlemen? That's where we want to go today. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And right after our brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and allow you to call in, ask your questions, joining in this discussion today. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it God's truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says, thy word is truth. It didn't say it contains truth. Thy word is truth. It didn't say it's partial truth. It is truth. It's the totality of the Word of God. And Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's important to me, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you. We live in a society today where there's a bifurcation of truth. There's a dabbling around with truth. There's a question as to what is truth and what is not truth. And on one side of the aisle in the Beltway in D.C., you find a whole group of people that doesn't believe this interesting thing is absolute truth. But truth is truth regardless of what side of the aisle you're on. Truth is truth regardless of your denominational distinctive or dogmas. Truth is truth whether you want to embrace it or not. Now look at the statement of George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be factually true even today. But I'm saddened to read in the recent survey that, looking at the headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Now, if there's no absolute truth, how do we do anything about mediating a court case? How do we go about making a determination as to what's right and wrong if there's no absolute truth? In fact, the article tells me that 55% of the Americans, 18 to 35 year old age group, say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. They say there's no absolute truth. And I look at an article that's a pretty large article, but just a snippet from it, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And the article goes on to tell us that there is a major deficit in the political process, in the media process, in the academic process that's devoid of truth. Where do we turn for truth? The Word of God. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Listen. Charlie Kirk defended the truth. Now listen, there were some nuances of things theologically doctrinal that he and I would have disagreed on. He was not a theologian. He was not a pastor. He was not a preacher. He was simply a young man that was advocating for truth, advocating for Christian theological doctrinal truth, and for our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and our Constitutional Republic, the way of life. He stood for those, and his life was taken as a result of his standing for truth, even to death. May I say to you, there's a need today for Christians, conservatives, and patriots to be willing to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. It's time for Christian pastors to stand in the pulpits, I believe, and unashamedly preach and teach the Word of God. And when I say unashamedly, I'm talking about, if I can be so bold as to say, it's time for Christian pastors to stand in the pulpits and advocate against murder by way of abortion, to stand against the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, to stand against the future in the state of Florida, for example, for legalizing, making it a constitutional amendment to have pot on every street corner. I believe it's time that we stand up and speak up while we yet have liberty, freedom, and opportunity to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of the 295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flies the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have seated around our broadcast studio table today Dr. Glenn Davis, Dr. Neil Phelps, and I'm thankful that they're here to join with me today in discussing what I think is a paramount theological doctrinal discussion. I believe it's time that we as Christians recognize the day in which we're living. Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, take a moment and speak before we get into the meat of what we're talking about today.
I'm so glad today that I have the great privilege of knowing the truth about things to come.
Amen.
I was meditating upon a verse of Scripture as I was driving here today. In the book of Titus, we are told we're to be looking for that blessed hope.
Yes.
And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And those, to me, are some wonderful words of admonition. Excuse me. You see, we have hope for the future. Mm-hmm. As Christians, we can know the truth and we can look for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our focus.
That'll preach, won't it?
Amen.
Dr. Davis, what say you?
I want to say good morning, amen, to all of my friends and amen, my bride of 39 years. Thank God for all of you on today. Amen. Especially those of you that sent me many gifts and flowers and all the great things for my birthday, text messages. Thank God for you for all of your gifts and all. Thank God for another opportunity to be able to live another day for the Lord.
Amen.
This is what it's all about, amen. And I thank God for sparing my life to be here in 2025. Could have been cut off and gone.
That's right.
A long time ago. But now, amen, here today we are here to discuss this word to give the body of Christ even more encouragement.
Absolutely.
Amen. That your redemption draweth nigh. I hear you say that all the time.
Amen.
On the air. Amen. So what we have to look forward to, because it's been promised to us in the Word of God, that Christ is going to come back and he's going to take us with him.
Amen.
Amen. So the next thing we want to look forward to on God's clock, amen, is the rapture of the church. We want to get you ready. Mm-hmm. When I leave, I want to take as many with me as want to go.
Amen.
Now, if you don't want to go, you don't have to go. Amen.
Absolutely.
But I do want you, amen, to want to go, because we don't want to live in a world right here to where we see all of these things, everything is going down but the Word of God.
Amen.
I want to say kudos, amen. I want to give thanks to God, amen, for the widow of Charlie Kirk.
Yes.
How she, when she came on the air, she said, "I forgive the shooter."
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, most people would look for vengeance. They would say, they think by taking a person's life that may have did some harm to their loved one, if they're executed or somehow killed or something, they, in other words, they think that they deserve eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be like that. I mean, that's actually what you're doing. But the Lord says that if you don't forgive your brother for their trespasses, neither will he forgive you for yours.
Now,
so I thank God for her, because the only light that the whole world is going to be able to see is Christ Jesus in us.
Absolutely.
We have to let Christ, amen, shine
absolutely
forth
let
in
me
our lives.
Put a little parenthetical footnote on the statement, lest our listeners may misunderstand Erica Kirk. She said she forgave him, but in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, I believe it's 6. No, it's in chapter 9. In chapter 9 in Genesis, God ordained an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. If you take the life of a person, God says his life should be surrendered.
Amen.
And so God created, gave us in civil government the right of the death penalty.
Amen.
And so even though she's forgiven, and from that standpoint, it's clean on the slate before God, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have to pay the consequences for the sin,
amen,
for the crime committed. So I'm thankful that we can understand that.
Well, we also have to consider, too, Dr. Youngblood, that when we forgive someone, it releases us.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Then God can bless us. We can be a channel of blessing for someone else's life if we learn how to just let it go.
Yes.
Just let it go, amen,
absolutely,
and let God
absolutely
work it out, amen. He's
right
going to
amen
bring about justice, amen, because he promised that.
Yes. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
We're present. I pray
hello,
that you
Brother
are
Jim.
Outstanding. I got a little bit of history, an observation on that history, and then a question as far as end times. 1975, Sarah Moore took a couple shots at President Ford. 10 years ago when she was in her 80s, and after having been released, she had an interview where she said that Ford was appointed. Then she said she was asked about why'd you do it, and she said she had to remove him so leadership could not take the blame for it. Then she said it was an awesome responsibility to take someone's life. So the three things that I observed from this is, one is she had no repentance. Two, she listened to the San Francisco area leftists that were telling her that she needed, that something needed to be done because Ford was appointed. Three is she had no value for human life at all. So in that regard, something that happened 50 years ago that's in our memories, our personal memories there, and taking those three considerations into fact, along with San Francisco back in the 70s being the birthplace of the homosexual revolution and a lot of leftist groups like AIRS and the Weather Underground there, would you say that the birthing pains as they come closer and closer and closer are a reflection of an attitude that began in the 60s and has progressed up and through, which has brought forward a downfall in our country that was founded on religion, or excuse me, founded on God and the Bible and freedom of religion? And how does that relate to the 24th chapter of Matthew where Jesus is talking about that?
Absolutely. Well, Jim, there are two or three things, and then I'll let the others speak on that question. We're seeing the crescendo, the coming to a head, if you please, of what we saw fomenting and fermenting and beginning back in the 60s. We're watching, as I called it, layer by layer, event by event, adding to that great time that we see in the Scripture. Not a great time, not great in the sense of a pleasant time, but that crescendo that we see spoken of in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark chapter 13, and that's the last days that we're living in. In the last days, we're seeing a greater and greater lawlessness, according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. We're seeing a greater and greater apostasy, the falling away from the church, as we see in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 and following. We're witnessing a greater and greater element of false teaching, false preaching, with theological, theological non-truth being presented. So, yes, morals, ethics, and values have greatly decayed since the beginning, as you spoke of back in the 60s. We're seeing that today more than, I believe, in my lifetime, where there's no absolute, there's no truth, there's no moral perimeter that says you can go this far and no further. We're not seeing anything today that will be called a getting better and better. The dominion theologist, by the way, some may have heard that term, some may not have. Dominion theology says that we're living in a culture and a time where though it looks bad, it's going to get better and better and better and ultimately usher in the kingdom of God here on earth. That dominion theology is false, fake, phony, and not biblical whatsoever. And we need to understand that. Dr. Phelps, what say you?
One of the great things I have learned is that when people refuse the truth, they are liable to get involved in anything that's evil.
That's right.
According to Romans chapter 3, the Lord says that there's none righteous, no, not one. And the only way that people can have what is called righteousness or any goodness is to turn to God from evil, to believe on His Son. And there's a dramatic change that takes place in the person's life who repents toward God. Repentance is a change of mind. When people receive the truth of the gospel, and it changes our attitude or our behavior toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is a great need today.
Absolutely. What say you, Dr. Davis?
Well, when we consider, Dr. Youngblood, from the day that Adam and Eve made the choice to eat of the forbidden fruit, the condition of mankind continued to spiral downward. Mm-hmm. Okay, if we fast forward to the murder, and that's what I'm going to call it, of Jesus Christ, mankind made a choice at that time for the king or for Pilate to release a murderer.
That's right.
When they made the choice to release Barabbas instead of Christ Jesus, which we know all of this had to fall into the plan of God, mankind still continued to spiral downward. So when we look at where we are today, we have to understand that in the scripture, Christ, he forewarned us of this time. When I go to Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21 and verse 16, he said, "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death." Mm-hmm. Now, we need not get excited, because the word of God is going to be fulfilled.
Absolutely.
If you're living in this life, it's going to be fulfilled in your life.
And it's
the only way that it doesn't.
It's being fulfilled now in these last days with the signs that we see in the text.
Amen.
Yes, go ahead.
Amen. So the only way that it doesn't is if you're not here any longer. Mm-hmm. Okay, but as long as we're living in this life, everything that God said is going to come to pass. And he said in verse 17, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." Look at Charlie Kirk. Everyone hated this man for no reason, but it's written right here in the scripture.
That's right.
That's what's going to happen. Now, guess what? If they hate Charlie Kirk, they hate us right now today.
According to Jesus.
Don't you take it lightly.
According to Jesus' own words, absolutely.
When you become a Christian, you got a target on your back.
That's right.
And the devil is shooting. He's the first one. And all of the other ones that hate Christ, opposed to Christ and Christianity, amen, are shooting at you as well.
Absolutely. Jim, what say you?
Well, the one thing that I've seen, because I wanted to point that out, because it's something that I recall from my youth, that particular event. And I wanted to point out that people that don't embrace the truth of Jesus Christ there typically lack critical thinking skills. In other words, that woman was talked into doing it by the talking heads around her. Two, they don't have any.
She lived in what I call the echo chambers in that part of the world, as in other parts of the nation today. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Two, with that lack of critical thinking skills, and then the devaluation of the human life, no natural love or sympathy for your fellow human being. And I remember saying the Pledge of Allegiance in prayer in school, and I've watched over my lifetime this decay, this moral decay that's happening around us, and long for those days, but at the same time, knowing what's going to happen there, I'm not afraid, but it's an awesome thing to behold if you think about it and look back on history and where we're at today and how those without Christ justify all sorts of just perverse and evil things.
Absolutely. So the key to it is we need to promulgate the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is time for the world to recognize God's word is settled, and God's word is going to come about just as God has said it would.
Amen.
So it deserves our prayer, our recognition of the word of God. And as I've said so many times, we need to keep looking up, lifting up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
And God bless you today. I believe we have Davis on the line. Davis, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, and I appreciate the conference that y'all in today with this, because we think about living in the last days. This is not the last days as we know it as the world existing. This is the last days of what we call the church or grace age that we're living in now. And it is coming to an end with the grace age. And that's going to come right with the rapture of all that's been saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's come now. So even the last days, there'll be a great falling away.
Yes.
And we have witnessed that now of the church falling away from the truth of God's word. I don't know of a pastor in Jacksonville that believes in a complete 3 whole days and 3 nights of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. When the disciples asked him back, he said, "This will be a sign unto you." as it was the Jonah to Nineveh of living in the last days, and Nineveh repented. It's about time the churches in the United States got on target with the truth of God's word. Jesus said he would be in there 3 days and three nights, not a weekend memorial.
You're exactly right, Davis. In fact, if you want me to use that term, I've harped on that for less than 100 years because the overwhelming majority of the pastors, and I've had the privilege of teaching multitudes of them down through the years in a classroom, the overwhelming majority of our pastors today have some kind of argument. No, Jesus was not buried on Friday. It had to have been on Wednesday for him to meet the qualifications and requirements of 3 days and three nights. But Jesus himself validated the authenticity of Jonah when a Jonah the second chapter, he said, just as Jonah's in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so also the Son of Man will be in the center of the earth, talking about in the grave. And multitudes.
He didn't tell him I'd be in there from Friday afternoon to Sunday morning.
It was three days and three nights, very, very clearly. And it's with Jewish reckoning that that's counted, and not with the Gregorian calendar as we know it today, but based on Jewish reckoning. And it's 3 days and three nights.
I'm 90, and I've been trying to harp this in for 45 years in the ministry, and you won't have a great calling of people whenever you put out the truth. They don't want to hear it, just like you said. And that generation now that says each person determines in their own mind what is true. Well, that's true. You do. I do my mind what's true. You do. But I want to stick to the Word of God. If Jesus said it, I believe it. That settles it.
Yes, sir. I tell people I may be narrow-minded, but if God's Word says it, that settles it. I'm going to accept it. In fact, I go to this point, Davis. If the Word of God said that Jonah swatted the whale, I would believe it because God's Word said it. Thank you so much.
It was the other way around, and I believe it.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you.
Well, one of the greatest problems we have, Dr. Youngblood, and it stirs me really bad. I mean, it troubles me, is that we as believers in Christ have built walls of separation between each other simply because we can't come together and agree. Mm-hmm. If I could speak in the words of Ronald Reagan today, Mr. Christian, tear down that wall.
Yes. And the key to
tear that down.
Key to it is so that our listeners will understand, when it comes to the cardinal doctrines of the faith, there should be no division. There may be different denominational dogma that some will add on top of the Word of God, but the Word of God is settled forever.
Amen.
You can say, I disagree with it. Multitudes say, I don't believe in the virgin birth. Some can say, I don't believe in the Trinity. Others can say, I don't believe this or this. It doesn't change the Word of God at all. Just because the person rejects it out of hand or doesn't want to believe it, it doesn't change it. And so I'm satisfied that the Word of God is settled forever, and that therefore we need to embrace it on that basis.
Well, the things that get me, that really gets me, is that we have denominations. We have a black church, we have a white church, we have a Spanish church, we have I've not seen that in the Bible.
In fact, I've said many times, you go to Acts chapter 13, you find the church, they had five pastors. They were, as I call it, jokingly speaking, red, yellow, black, and white pastors, so that as anybody came into the fellowship, they'd have someone ethnically that could relate to them and preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you've said, I get a little upset. In fact, down through the years, I've had different ministries in the area that started, wondering if they could share our facilities, and it would be one that would be some ethnic group church. No, if you want to come be a part of who we are and what we're doing, wonderful, but we're not going to divide the body of Christ.
Amen.
Based on ethnicity.
Amen.
Or based on some geographical location or heritage or background. The body of Christ needs to be together when it comes to the cardinal doctrines. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a question today: are we living in the last days? What are the signs of the last days? We're going to get more into the signs in a moment, but I want us to understand the secular worldview. If we look at the secular worldview or the political worldview today, they talk about climate change or global warming, all of which are fake scientists is what they're basing it on. And the political power and the idea that somehow, some way, they can change what we see taking place is totally abhorrent to the Word of God. From the central biblicist viewpoint, ladies and gentlemen, on solid biblical grounds, we conclude that God is speaking and His Word is clear, and that we're living in the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news break, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues. Don't turn your dials. Hang in there. We're coming right back.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.